Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is Dr. Shefali Sabari. Dr. Shefali is the author of four books, three of which, well, actually more than that at this point, but three of them are New York Times bestselling books, including her landmark books, The Conscious Parent, The Awakened Family, and her new book, brand new, hot off the presses, The Parenting Map, which you, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see that beautiful cover. She's an expert in family dynamics and personal development and teaches courses around the globe. In our talk today, we're going to talk about all things books. We're going to talk about, gosh, there's a lot to cover about, I mean, she's got multiple books with over 1,000 reviews on Amazon, launching books super successfully, has published two books in the last 2 years. How do you do that? The holy grail of getting an interview with Oprah. How do you do it? There's so much stuff to talk about. Welcome. Great to have you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Yeah. You're keeping track. I'm not. I was like, oh, I did two books in 2 years. Okay.
So I guess for starters, why books? Like why are books such an important part of your brand and your business as a whole?
I love to write. And I think at my core, I'm a writer. I don't really think well without writing it out. That's just my happy place. When I'm creative and I love it. I didn't know I would love it so much, but I really love it more than almost any other aspect of my business, which is mostly public speaking or teaching or, you know, running an institute. I like to write because I am an introvert at heart. So I get to sit on my own, and writing is really special for that, for introverts.
Yeah. And did it start, like, which came first? Was it, did you start writing the books and then the books became really popular, and then that's kind of spurred on more speaking and so forth? Or was it the opposite? Were you speaking, teaching, training, and then you kind of synthesized that into the books?
I think I use the books as a strategy to kind of be the business card, mm-hmm. and then realize how much I love writing. And how easy it came to me, right? I knew I had a passion for it, but I didn't know I would be so prolifically able to execute. Mm-hmm. But I used it as a strategy. So it was definitely more from my mind, you know, more mental strategy thing of like, you got to write a book, you know, mm-hmm. that's how you get in. And it's the truth. It, you know, people want to see a book. It gives you legitimacy. It stamps your name in the profession. I mean, but I also do tell people that not everyone needs to write one, and not everyone should write one. Please don't write one unless you really have something important, a message that you feel passionate about. And then, you know, selling it is extremely hard. So writing it is one thing. Selling it is a whole other animal.
And so speaking of the sales component, I mean, let's go way back. It looks like either your first book or maybe one of your first, it's one of the earliest that I can find, is The Conscious Parent. Why do you think that book sold so well? And is there anything that you did that you feel like just really worked there?
Well, it did not sell well at first at all. So it still takes me by surprise that it's even out there, because it came out in a whisper. And stayed a whisper, but I didn't give up. You see, I didn't give up on the message, and I kept knocking on doors and talking about it. But I was talking to myself, but I just kept talking, and I just kept saying, you know, if only Oprah could hear this message. And I was a little grandiose, but I kept talking like that, and then I just kept telling everybody I knew about my message. And eventually somebody knew somebody knew somebody knew somebody, and I got all the dots connected. But it was very serendipitous, and it was very slow. So no one watching this should think it was an instant success. It was extremely slow, and it is still a very niche marketed book. It's not for the masses. It should be, but it still feels like treading water, deep, deep water, and exhausting. So there's nothing glamorous about my career. I don't want anyone to think, you know, you gave me a very glowing introduction, but I don't want, because this is a for writers show, I want people to just know it's grueling, it's exhausting, it's humbling. And, you know, the bestseller part only happens, you know, once in a while. It's a it's a flash in the pan, but the message is what I'm passionate about. So that's what keeps me fueled. More than whether I can get, I'm happy to get the success, but the message keeps the passion alive.
That's cool. I love that you shared that, because what we call this is like the Lamborghini launch versus the Toyota Camry book. And like the Lamborghinis, that's what it's like. It's flashy, it's sexy. It's like the launch week where all you sell all the books, but then it's shoo, it's gone, right? And but then the Toyota Camry, that sounds more like what you did, which is like, you know, those things just keep going and going and going. And there's the long tail, and then there's the substance.
And do you want to write a book that's a flashy book, which is sexy, or you want to write a book that's truly making impact? And sometimes you want to write the flashy book because it gets attention. So that is the lure of the ego. But if you're really sincere, you want to write a book that has long-term, like deep impact and long-term impact. So that's that. I know my books do that, but I definitely lose out on the flashy, sexy look, you know?
That's funny. Now, you talked about kind of the slow burn of getting The Conscious Parent off the ground and getting it selling. Was there a tipping point, or was there a, like a, you know, so you said somebody knows somebody who knows somebody, like, was there a moment where you're like, oh, okay, now this is really picking up steam, or kind of an inflection point at all?
Well, everything is leading off something before it. But finally, when I did show up on Oprah's Super Soul, I mean, that's when it began to change. And so many of my quote unquote followers saw me first. They can still remember the time, the moment that they saw me, and they felt I was speaking to them. So I think until that point, parents may have felt neglected, and my message touched parents' hearts. And they all, you know, so many mothers especially were, you know, were resonating, echoing this sentiment that, oh, when I heard you speak, you spoke to me directly. It was as if you were talking to me. And so that gave me a platform. So that was definitely the inflection point.
Got it. And how did that happen? What's the story there?
Just, you know, I told, just kept talking about the book, and then somebody knew a producer there, and she had just given birth. And she said, you know, normally Oprah wouldn't consider doing a parenting book because she's not a parent, but I'm a parent. I see how important it is. And then Oprah took me on, and she saw how important it was. So I was just very blessed that my message resonated. It is a very beautiful message. It doesn't belong to me, so I can say it. It's a stunningly clear, poignant, evocative, and deep message. So it should be taken on by the world. And that's why I can keep clanging the bell and knocking on doors shamelessly, because I believe in the message. And that's what writers need to believe in, is their story, their message. And when you believe in the message, you can do the selling, because otherwise it's a hard mountain to climb.
Was there ever a point where, like, you weren't leaning into that, where you're like, oh man, do I talk about this? Do I not? Or do you feel like you've always had that conviction?
I've always had the conviction, but sometimes I do want to, you know, throw my hands up and say F off to everybody. but then it only lasts for like 15, 20 minutes. I come back because I know the part in me that is saying F off is my ego that is upset, because my outcome wasn't delivered, right? People didn't love it, or people were too difficult, or I didn't get what I wanted. So that's all my ego. So I know that. And so I can come back to center and go, okay, I'm not here for my ego. I'm here for this message. And I have to stay a humble servant to the message. But, you know, sometimes the servant wants to fire the boss and go, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. And you can't use me anymore. But I'm talking to nobody, you know. The boss is in, the ego is in my head, right? There's nobody out there.
Yeah. What would be your advice or encouragement for someone who is stuck in that place of like, oh man, like I don't like the marketing so much. I don't want to be out there talking about this book. I think the message is strong, but I just want the message to speak for itself. Like what would be?
Well, then they have to question what part in them is resistant, and it's okay if they want to not do it, but often it's the egoic part that is feeling ashamed, afraid of failure, being too vulnerable. It's very vulnerable to put your work out there. So it's that ego part that is at the forefront before the message. So you have to put the message at the forefront. We are, for at least nonfiction writers of self-help books, the way I look at it is that I'm just the purveyor. I'm just the vehicle. So shut up. And just be the vehicle. And when I get too loud, my ego gets too loud, I know I need to check my ego because the ego is blocking the messenger, the vehicle. I'm just the vessel. So if I can just remember that, I'm just the vessel, I come back to center, I put my ego to bed, I go back to work, right? So it's when we put our ego in front and we want an outcome, we want an accolade, we want a trophy, we want a number, we want a bestseller list, we want the praise of Oprah, that's when we're going to screw it up. So I would just tell people, you know, why are you doing this work? You know, most nonfiction work is typically for a message, right? So what is your message? Do you love the message or do you love your ego? Decide. It's okay to love your ego, but then don't cry later, because then you can't get it out there. If you're in love with your ego and you want praise all the time, you will not be able to put the message out there because people will smell it. People will be turned off by you and you will falter because you're not in clarity. So the message has to be before your ego. And it takes work. And I have compassion for people who forget and put the ego first. But you need to train yourself to keep being a vessel for the message.
Mm, that's good. So let's talk a little bit about kind of your launch process for these books. Like I'm, you know, just looking at the catalog on Amazon, I'm like, dadgum. I mean, these books have done well. It seems like all of them. So like, what's your process? How do you launch a book successfully?
You know, there's no formula and I don't have one. So each book, I try something different. My last book was, to me, my most phenomenal book for women. It was called A Radical Awakening. But that one came out during COVID. So I had to just sit like this in front of a little screen and launch it. So I don't even know how it did well because technically I didn't follow any protocol. I couldn't go on a book tour. For this book, The Parenting Map, which everyone should go and buy to support conscious parenting. This one, I did a summit beforehand, endless, you know, podcasts and Instagram lives, and you have to talk to death. That's the strategy, talk to death. Even if you go on a book tour, I've never done a book tour actually. And my other books that did well, I didn't really do much. I just got on Oprah, so I was lucky. But what I would say in terms of a strategy is just keep spreading the word. You have to talk for hours and just keep pounding the pavement and not give up. And again, be humble about your goal. Don't have a goal of getting out there in numbers because that's the trap, right? Then you're going to be disappointed. But as much as I say this, everyone is going to look for numbers.
Yeah.
I do as well. But yeah. I try to train myself, okay, you're looking at numbers too much and that's a trap. I at least know it's a trap. Mm. And you just have to love your work and look at it as a privilege, as an honor that I get to do this work. And that's how you find beauty in it. So there's no formula for a launch. And I can guarantee you no author has a formula. It's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of luck, it's a little bit of unknown, mm-hmm. but mostly it's community building, right? You have to build your community. You have to have a loyal band of followers who will buy everything you sell. So I have that, but it took me years and years to build that. And even that is not like a superlative number. So I still have to go and promote it over and over again.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. Now, which ones were the ones that were New York Times bestsellers? And was there anything different that you did with those books? Or was it kind of a culmination of all of the things you just mentioned?
No, I mean, really, it was the first two were with Oprah's Super Souls that put me on the list. And then another one was just intensive marketing. And the others all should be on the list. It just, you know, different categories or didn't, for some reason, political or not, didn't get on the list. But they've all done pretty well. And so you have to look at the wide arching reach. You know, do they get translated into many languages? Are they globally recognized? Mm-hmm. You know, in America, we tend to restrict it to very narrow metrics, aka the New York Times bestseller, which is such a setup for authors, including myself. So we need to expand our idea of success, you know, and otherwise we'll feel very shortchanged and very bitter, you know. First, you again, it's just all about the message. If you have an amazing message, that is already, you're a winner. Very few people have an amazing message. So if you have a message, you're so lucky. And then if you have a message you're passionate about, even if it's like walking on the treadmill or gardening, you know, roses and daisies, okay, planting roses and daisies. If that's your message and you're passionate about it, how lucky are you? And then if you can write about it, then if you get published, these are all big successes that often get underestimated in the big picture.
I like that. Now, you mentioned getting translated into different languages. It looks like that you've done that pretty well with multiple of your books. I'm even looking on the Amazon page here. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, there's a bunch of reviews on the Spanish edition of, I think this is The Conscious Parent, Padres Conscientes. How did that come about, and how have you done kind of the international and kind of translations and all that stuff?
Well, you know, just in the industry, they come and ask you. So like this book, The Parenting Map, is already being translated into 16, 17 languages, like a week out. So once you're established, then people just come to you. They come to the publisher and they create a deal and then it gets done. But I also do go and promote my work in different countries. I get invited to speak in so many countries. So that's lovely. That's a perk. Get to travel, get to meet different people. So that's just building organically through social media. You know, frankly, I think in many ways I'm better known in some other countries than even here. So it just depends on what catches in different countries.
Yeah, got it. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but you've got, you know, at least three books with over 1,000 reviews on Amazon. Is there anything you do special for reviews, or anything that you've seen work well for getting reviews of your books?
I try not to read them. So after the first week, I try not to go and read them. But no, I don't actually. I should do. You know, other authors do. They like have a machine of people out there giving reviews. And I literally have never asked, except this book. I just last week told my little audience to leave a review, but I never even do that. So, but you should do it. So if somebody's listening and you're the authors out there, you should do it. And I don't do it, but if you can recruit your audience to go leave reviews, that's a good thing. And there's no shame in doing it if we're not forcing them. You know, what I've learned through this process is It's okay to ask. It's okay to sell. Again, if you come from a clean place and you believe in your message, it's okay. No one is going to be more passionate about your book than you. So if you think somebody else is going to be more passionate and you wait for that person or you depend on that person, nobody, not your children, not your partner, not your best friend. It's just you. So you have to love it so much. Otherwise, do not write a book. Otherwise, because it'll just stay by your bedside or by your computer. You have to love it so much that you're willing to put your vulnerabilities aside and go sell, which is a very vulnerable making process, you know, like holding the book up like this. I hate doing it, right? You have to keep going, buy the book, buy the book. I don't like to do it, but I'm like, F it, I have to do it. So, you know, so this is the way. You just have to put your ego on the side and just be a shameless salesperson, because otherwise the book will not be sold. It will not sell itself unless you're an actress or actor in Hollywood or on TV all the time.
Well, and the book, you know, if the book is not sold, it can't be read. And if the book is not read, well, then it's not going to change people's lives like you want it to, right? And so it's a precursor to the other stuff. So two follow-ups on that. One is, can you hold up both of those covers we were talking before the interview? I thought this is such a, I've never seen this.
You're giving away my secrets. But I'm happy to share. So this is the regular cover, but this does not look good on Instagram. On Instagram, it's inverted. But one of my best friends told me that I need to do this. So I did this, which is you just have to invert it and print it out. And then I tape it on the back.
Oh, that's so cool.
But then on Instagram, people can read it. So if you're an author, I don't know why people don't do this. I told my publishing house that they should send this cover with that cover.
Yeah.
At least one. I had to go make it on my own. So on Instagram, people can read it.
Yeah.
People cannot read backwards.
Mm-hmm. That's super smart. Well, and you're seeing the cover of her new book. Check it out, The Parenting Map. We'll talk about that in just a second. Yeah, there it is. Now you mentioned, hey, you got to talk about the book. You got to sell the book. Unless you're an actress or something, it won't sell. And I noticed on your books, you've got just awesome endorsements. And it's not like, you know, I feel like a lot of books, it's like, all right, this is like the standard cast of characters that are other authors that you see on the endorsements that are like on the endorsements for everything, right? It's very eclectic and different. And two names that stood out, I'm like, hold up, Alicia Keys and Eva Longoria, what? How did those happen? And really within that, like any tips for authors who are searching for kind of that bigger name endorsement, how do you do it?
Oh, don't look for big name endorsements. If it happened organically, you know, they were following me. So then, you know, you go and look at your followers, you're like, what? Eva Longoria is following me? I didn't even know. So then they follow you and then you go, hey, and then they go, hey, back. And you're like, what, are you DMing me? So it happens organically. Please do not look for it, because it will not happen. So the only way it can happen again is if you spread your word. Now, also be realistic. You know, if you're writing a book about daisies or chicken on a skewer, you may not get such a wide reach, right? So be realistic. The reason my work has reached so many people is because it touches people at the heart of their families, right? So I'm quote unquote lucky that I happen to fall on a message that touches a universal heart. But don't be disheartened if your message is about playing cricket or, you know, distilling water or sewing teddy bears together. That's you. So honor that. And you'll just have a smaller niche, but don't forsake it, because that's what makes you filled with integrity. I do this. I didn't know it would be so wide reaching. I did it because it moved me so much. And that's what you have to find, a message that moves you, so that you can stand with integrity and then be tireless in your passion. But don't look for somebody else's message, because it won't be sustainable.
That's good. I want to talk about just kind of the prolific content creation. I mean, I was looking at, I looked at your last book. I'm like, okay, well, hold up. That launched on May 18th, day after my birthday, so I remember it.
Happy birthday.
In 2021. And then I'm like, all right. And then the new book, I'm doing some mental math over here. I'm like, all right, that launched in February of 2023. So just recently at the time of recording this, I'm like, all right, a little bit of math. That's not even 2 years between those books. How in the world do you do that?
You know, some people can sing, I can write. That's simple. You probably have your own talent. So I'm not going to aggrandize it, but that's just my talent. I could write a book in the next 3 months. I could write starting now, be done in 3 months. Mm. I have so much to say. So I love to write. It's like people who love to paint, you know, they can paint a painting every week. I'm like that. So it's nothing extra special than that. I love it so much. In fact, I have to hold myself back from writing the next book because then people won't take me seriously because they'll be like, oh, you can just keep writing. But I can.
Oh, like it would be too frequent with publishing?
I think because then people will be like, oh, now she's come up with the, you know, the 10 tips on how to da-da-da. I mean, I can literally keep writing every 3 months, a new, whole new book for 360 pages, quite impeccable, quite creative. I love it so much. I have to hold myself back, but I can still write for myself. Mm-hmm. But in terms of writing the next book, I have to hold myself back because you have to give each book time to percolate, to germinate. But I'm like done with this, ready to do my next book. But again, if you want to be in the industry, you have to be strategic.
That makes sense. And that's something I feel like a lot of our authors, the ones who are, you know, more prolific, like you, who are always wanting to write the next book, kind of struggle with is balancing that. Like, all right, how much time do I spend writing the next one versus promoting the one that I just launched and really continuing to talk about that? How do you juggle those two things?
Well, I think you have to look at it like a child, you know, I'm just giving a symbolism of, you know, a child. You can't just like dump this kid and go to the next one, right? So you have to like raise this one a little bit, nurture it a little bit. You can't just be like, okay, goodbye. So I want to spend time to stay wedded to this for a little bit, even though frankly, I'm ready to move on. But that's not fair, right? To the child, to the book. So you want to give a 2 year gap. I did this one very fast, but typically 2-3 years is a good amount of time, I think. To leave. And then also you want to grow, you want to mature. So even though I could write the next book now, I want to be at another stage of wisdom to write the next book. So I want to wait because I'm growing so much from this book. I want the growth to sit within me. And then our next book will be even more wiser. So I want to give some wisdom, some new wisdom in my next book.
Cool. I like that. Tell us about the new book. So what's it about and who's it for? We'll start there. And then I want to hear some things that you're doing maybe differently with the launch of this new book.
So this book is very different. It's the parenting map. It's the how to. The other books were more the what and the why and more theoretical. This is very pragmatic and practical. I really lowered the esoteric nature of my thinking sometimes to make it very tangible and concrete. I give illustrations. I give tables. This is not my style. So I went against my style to write a book that I felt that the audience needed more than I needed. This book is really a service book for the audience more than for my heart because of the style. The style was more strategic of what parents needed versus what Shefali needed, right? So I was like, this is for the parents. So very, you know, I went against my instincts. My instincts are just to write very heavy, theoretical, deep stuff. So I did that in the other books. So I said, okay, now don't do you so much. Do less of you and more of what the audience wants from you. And so I had to stretch myself. I had to go into an uncomfortable place and make acronyms and steps and exercises and prompts. This is not who I am. But I did it because I wanted to give the audience what they needed for a change instead of just indulging my creative potential.
Got it. And how has the response been to that so far?
So far, it's been good. And, you know, it's just a week out, so I'll know more as we pick up. But so far, people say that they're loving it, the simplicity of it, the concreteness of it. And I just hope it helps people. So far, it looks like it is. So, and I definitely think it will help people.
Cool. What is there anything, I know you mentioned earlier, hey, I kind of do, it's a little bit different and test new things on the launch with each book. Is there anything that you've done differently with this, with the launch of this book, or anything that you feel like has worked especially well?
With this book, I did a summit. So I gave that as an incentive, and it was hugely successful. I had like many, many sales all over the world. So that's one way people can go about it, or they can go on a book tour. But again, before you even want to sell the book, you have to have an audience. So you have to build a relationship with the audience. So I have a very good relationship with my audience. So I had a ready market who would just buy the book. But yeah, you still have to, you know, go on TV, you know, get podcasts. So you have to build relationships. It's so much more work than just writing a book.
Yeah. Now, what, I guess kind of final couple of questions here would be, knowing what you know now, what would be kind of your parting piece of advice for the Dr. Shefali of years ago, before you wrote your first book, and all the other people out there like you who are thinking about writing their first book?
I would say, you know, do it, have fun with it, but don't let it be your only identity, you know. Find other revenue sources, other creative outlets, and enjoy the process. Be challenged by it, but also don't let it overwhelm you, because it can be very overwhelming. It's a beautiful thing to put your message out there, but don't get so attached to how many people read it and what do people say and reviews. I mean, I literally, after the week one, I have not read other reviews of my other books. So just let it go. Sometimes they're nasty reviews, you know. My first review of this one, like literally the book was out an hour, I got a 1-star review by a hater. But now it's buried. But so if you take it literally, then you will be always feeling, you know, self-worth. But I could laugh at it because I have so much positivity. But for a new writer, that can be so disheartening. You cannot take it personally. It's just total, it's a crapshoot. Who likes you, who doesn't like you. So it's not about you. Again, it's your message. And sometimes if the message is very provocative, my messages are all provocative, it could be very unpopular. You know, I don't write mainstream stuff. I write provocative things. I don't write easy things. So for me, I get more resistance. So just be prepared. If you're going to write something that is not popular, you will get a lot of resistance, and you have to deal with that and be strong.
Like that. First time I got a 1-star review, my brother, he's in the music industry, and he's like, Chandler, first off, congratulations.
Right. Welcome. Yeah, this means, welcome. Yes.
This means you're making it. This is not just your mom and your grandma reading this thing anymore. But also, this is this is someone leaving a review on your book, not on you as a person. And this is an important distinction, right? It's just like we celebrate, it's kind of like this thing in our communities, like we now celebrate your first 1-star review. It's like a rite of passage. It's like, good, that's great. Because yes, you've actually reached a broad audience and people, not just people that you know.
Very good. Yeah, it's the scratch on your Ferrari, you know, you got to have it, just get it over with. And then you survive. And then you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It really is nothing to do. It is not even about your writing. It's about how your writing matches their belief. So it's so not about you at all. But it's also good to take feedback, you know. In the beginning, I used to read it just to get feedback to get the pulse of the audience. Mm-hmm. So it is good to take the feedback, but not take it as a self-condemnation or, you know, as a mirror of your worth. Just take it as a pulse of, oh, who's out there? What hits their bone or the raw nerve? And what can I learn from that, as in terms of who my audience is or is not? But it's nothing to do with your style of writing or you per se.
That's good. Well, this has been awesome. Where can people go to buy your book, get a copy of the new book, or learn more about you, or whatever would be most helpful?
They can go to drshefali.com. You can put it in the notes as well. But thanks a lot. That was so great to talk to you and other authors. I love talking to other authors, and hopefully they got some insights and will keep writing away and not give up on their passions.
For sure. Well, hey, check out the site, drshefali.com, and check out the new book, The Parenting Map. Grab a copy, check it out. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.